Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today in particular, I am speaking to fathers. And if a father that you know of is not here today, will you please take this message to them and share this message? Share it with compassion and love, and with an earnest invitation to truly rise to the God-given importance that they have in their child's lives. That is God's design for the family. Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Husband and wife, mom and dad, that is God's design for the home, where children are to be raised in security and safety, love and nurture. But sin has broken the family to such an extent in our culture that there is an epidemic of children being raised without any influence and support of their biological father. And that really is the root cause of all societal problems, the absent father. When I hear news stories about a child going wrong, my ears perk up to hear if they mention dad anywhere in the story. Almost universally, there is no dad in the picture. There is an epidemic of out-of-wedlock births. We have a culture have separated intimacy from the covenant of marriage to such an extent that Maury Povich can have show after show of paternity tests, and there's even paternity court on TV. Sin has taken what was a gift from God and turned it into a recreational sport, and children suffer. I don't understand. Two of my most precious memories are the births of my daughters. How a man can miss this totally awesome moment when the child is being born, I don't understand. How can a man not want to be with his child, yet sin has broken families? You and I have shed tears over how sin has broken families. What can we do? We can pray. We can pray for healing and mercy. Pray for a renewed dedication to children to give them what they truly need. Speak out and counteract the culture that says kids don't need mom and dad, even in the face of statistical evidence that children fare best in an intact family where mom and dad are present. Our culture celebrates alternatives, which are known to be detrimental to children. In particular, let us pray for fathers. For our culture, thanks in particular to Gloria Steinem, over the past 40 years has said to fathers, "You are irrelevant and not needed." But dad, you are needed. Dad, you are God's creation to fulfill a specific role in the life of your child. Fathers, do you really understand your God-given significance in rearing children? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training, instruction of the Lord." Dad, You are the primary faith teacher in your house and in your home. What you do, what you say concerning the things of the Lord will set the path and the course for your children. Consider the time and resources you pour into your children's athletic training. In the name of the living God, I ask you, what are you pouring into the spiritual training of your children? I ask you that in the name of the living God, to help you see that the spiritual training is the most important thing you can do as daddy. The Holy Scripture says to all fathers, Father, bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You may ask where to begin. Begin with a solid declaration concerning your life and your home. Learn from Joshua, who declared, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was getting old, and he was soon to die. He had been the leader of Israel. He took over from the shoes of Moses. Could you imagine trying to fill those shoes? But that was Joshua's calling from the Lord. Joshua led Israel into the promised land and guided them in the conquering of the land and the division of the land for the 12 tribes. But sin was constantly rearing its ugly head. Israel would obey the Lord for a while, and then they would go astray. They would go after the ways of the false gods of the Canaanites. They would hunger for the false gods of Egypt. They would forget the one that delivered them from bondage and gave them the promised land. Now all the tribes are assembled at Shechem. The elders, leaders, judges, officials of Israel, and the people were summoned there to present themselves before the Lord. Once assembled, Joshua recounted for Israel all that the Lord had done. The Lord called Abraham and gave the covenant to him. Isaac was born, along with Jacob and Esau. Jacob and his sons went to Egypt. The Lord sent Moses and Aaron, and the Lord God afflicted the Egyptians and brought Israel out from Egypt. Joshua reminds the people that they had been, that they had seen the great things the Lord had done. Now, with all the Lord has done for you, Joshua charges the people, fear the Lord and serve him only. Throw away all the false gods and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord is too much, choose which false god you will serve, the gods of the forefathers from across the river or the gods of the land you're dwelling in. Then Joshua said with great clarity, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Fathers, it begins there. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then follows making sure your house serves the Lord by passing on the faith to the children. Just as you would not give children free rein in choosing their food, do not give them free rein in choosing their faith. That would be foolishness. Why would you let your child choose to follow a false god? Why would you let your child follow a false religion to live by? The faith in the Lord God is the only true faith. Impress this truth into the hearts and souls of your children. You would be giving them life by teaching them to obey the Lord. Learn from Israel and the problems they had through the Holy Scriptures. They failed to teach the next generation to obey the Lord. Slowly, step by step, they would go down that slippery slope. Before you know it, they had turned their back on the one true God and worshipped Baal, worshipped Asherah, worshipped Moloch, and all the other false gods of Canaan. They had forgotten the commands of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God. Direct me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Fathers, you can change the course of human history by faithfully fulfilling your role as the faith leader in your home, as the faith leader in your children's lives. Fathers, that is you. There's no one that can take your place. No one. Fathers, teach your children to love the Lord, to obey the Lord and walk in his ways. Dad, you are the primary role model of faith for your children. You are the primary one to pass the faith on to the next generation. I've been told this story by my father about his father and his grandfather. There'd be numerous times when my dad's dad, if you can follow the story, my dad's dad would be walking with his dad. That'd be my great-grandfather. And my great-grandfather would say to my grandfather, in other words, my dad's grandfather would say to my dad's dad, I'm going to try to confuse you as much as I can to make sure you're paying attention. And so they'd be walking along. And so dad would say to son, son, how's your walk with Jesus? How is your relationship with the Lord? Yes, that was a Lutheran father talking to a Lutheran son. How is your walk with Jesus? How's your relationship with the Lord? They would talk about the things of faith in the ordinary things of life. My great-grandfather was doing as the Lord commanded, teaching his son about faith in Jesus Christ. The Reverend J.J. Lee taught his son, who became the Reverend Donald Lee, who taught his son, my dad, who taught me and my siblings, and now I am teaching my children. This stole I am wearing today was my grandfather's, Donald Lee's, Reverend Donald Lee's. Would I be here or even wearing his stole if my great-grandfather, Reverend J.J. Lee, didn't ask his son, how is your walk with Jesus? Dads, do you ask your children faith questions? Do you talk about the faith in just the ordinary things of life? Do you talk about the faith when you're playing catch or passing a soccer ball back and forth? Do you talk about the things of Christian faith when you're fishing? That's a great time. Fishermen, you know. Dads, do you talk about the faith when watching NASCAR or football or anything? How about when you're driving down the road? Turn off all those electronic devices and ask your child, how's your walk with Jesus? Make talking the things of faith a normal, natural part of your daily life with your children. And dads, pray with your children. Model for your children a vibrant faith that they would want to follow in your footsteps. Both of my daughters at one time or another have put on daddy's shoes and have clomped around the house. Maybe your son or daughter has done that in your own household, or you've seen your grandchildren do it, clomping around. And doesn't that bring a twinkle to your eye? Well, I want them to follow in my faith shoes, to follow in my footsteps of following Jesus. Numerous times in the gospel, Jesus said he was about his Father's business. Jesus said he was doing the work his Father was doing. Jesus said he had the authority to forgive sins. And most amazingly, Jesus said that we can call Almighty God Father. We are so removed from the Hebrew culture of that time that we don't understand the earth-shattering thing Jesus did. When the Hebrew people wouldn't even speak the name of the Lord, it was too holy. Jesus said you can have a living relationship with the Father. Dads, turn to your Father in heaven and ask for help. Ask for help for him to work through you to raise your children his way. Ask your Father in heaven for anything. Ask for the healing of broken relationships. Ask for humility and guidance to train up your child in the way he or she should go. Ask for forgiveness. Ask, fathers, ask for compassion and mercy. Fathers, ask for anything you need to reach your daughter for Christ Jesus. Fathers, ask for anything you need to reach your sons for Christ Jesus. The situation is not hopeless. You may have blown it. I'm not perfect. I've blown it. But I don't give up, and I encourage you not to give up either. With the Lord, there is always hope. Because there is forgiveness. There's always hope for all the messes we dads have made. And yet, fathers, in spite of all your frailties and humanness and failings, you are chosen. Dads, you are consecrated to a very important, specific task. And that is to instruct your children in the ways of the Lord. You have the Lord's word on this, and you have the Lord's support to do this. You can do it, Dad. Fathers, you can do it. You see our generation of children. You see the violent and crazy things they're doing. And you see how many have no father figure in their life, and they don't even know their dad. But dads, you can turn this generation around. You can turn this generation back to the Lord. Sin has broken the family. Too many children are hurting because of what sin has done. Dads, please teach your children the faith. And if the relationship is broken from father to daughter or father to son, seek reconciliation and love that child into the kingdom. Sin has broken too many people. Dads, I encourage you to be the man God created you to be. Instruct your children in the faith. Give them the greatest blessing you can give them. The ability to follow in your footsteps because you follow the Lord. They will follow the Lord. And it starts with this declaration. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Father, these words are challenging, but oh, so true and important. Through us all gathered here today, may we be the instruments of changing a generation, reconnecting fathers to children, stopping the foolishness of the culture that says dads are irrelevant, and restore one of the greatest gifts you gave us of a father holding his son or a father holding his daughter, praying together and walking with Jesus. Father, I ask you to bless these people, and may they experience that blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.